Welcome to We're All Friends here.
Oh boy, good to be back. Hot show this one.
Great show. I'm Matt Ruby.
Mark Norman here.
And you know, Mark, when people ask me what makes for a good comedy show, my answer is always suicide and abortion.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. How about a little masturbation?
We'll throw that into the mix, sure. All is there a priest involved?
And a car.
Then I'm definitely down.
All right.
Which is what these lucky listeners have to look forward to at this show. Our first guest,
woo,
RG Daniels.
Oh, yeah, the underdog, but boy, he pulled out a beauty.
Great set, great interview. Hosts a great show every Sunday night in New York, in the East Village.
Sunday night stand-up.
At Three of Cups. Let's just get to his interview.
Oh, yeah.
Here's RG Daniels.
Woo!
Let's talk about the...
I was going to say, you guys are really digging in here.
Well,
let's
you
talk
guys
about
got somewhere.
The first suicide attempt. The first. Yeah.
Was it before or after the broken engagement?
It was after.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Really? Because of that?
It factored in, yeah. But only later on. Only when the ghosts were haunting me again.
Oh, bro, the ghosts. Jesus Christ.
The ghosts took a hold of the volume then.
Yeah, apparently.
So the engagement gets broken off. She just wasn't good enough? What was the problem?
Quite the opposite, I think. I think in her eyes, I wasn't good enough for her because we had been together through the college years, and it was only after we graduated and I started doing this that she had a problem, so she felt that it was best to
sort of... She saw who you were going to become.
Yeah.
She didn't like it.
Nah, I don't think she was into it. She wasn't into the whole, you know, me being out late and...
The stand-up arena.
Yeah.
Can be tough to take for the ladies.
Yeah. She was a corporate sort of gal, you know.
Ah, yes.
Doing her 9-to-5 thing, the, you know, a woman of today just marching down to that.
You said that as if you don't approve. Woman of today.
It's just not my thing. It's not
like women of yesterday.
What's that?
Women of yesterday.
Like a, you know, like a
submissive.
Nah, not necessarily.
Asian.
I like Asian.
Asian. He likes Asians. Let's just get to it.
I'm not into the pantsuit gal.
Really? I love that. That's a hot look. Love the pants.
He loves it. He's got a pinup of Hillary Clinton in his room.
Oh, yeah. Michelle Obama? Wow.
Always showing those arms off. The guns. Anyway,
well,
let's get back to this.
She's black. They're naturally muscular, I believe.
Athletic.
So the engagement breaks up, and then how long before the suicide attempt?
Well, we broke up in 2005, so probably about 2.5 years. 2 years, 2.5 years.
Well, we got pills, we got a razor, we got a gun,
tailpipe.
I should say that he asked to be on the show, so this is
yeah. Yeah.
This is all fair game.
No, you know, and the reason why is because I think I'm ready to laugh at it. That's why.
We're ready, people.
So, yeah, come on, guys, ready to laugh.
And, people aren't ready is the audience.
I'm amongst friends and strangers, but I do respect you two for what you do here, so that's why I was prepared to do this.
Flattery will get you out.
But what was it? No, I drew a bath and was ready to dump a CD player.
Oh, the electrocution in the bathtub?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Oh, he's old school.
What CD? Google?
The climax of...
What I was thinking.
I would kill myself maybe,
right,
too.
Right, Massive Star. No, yeah.
Little Soul Asylum?
I don't remember. It was probably...
Runaway Train?
Yeah. Probably something I honestly don't remember. I was heavy into the drink.
I would think... Now, did you consider, will the toaster be better than the CD player? What's going to...
That's a good question.
No, that's a bad move.
The toaster's
not
a bad
as much electricity going on in a toaster. The wattage is too low.
You think so?
Yeah.
Never heard of anybody not sticking their fork in a CD player.
I'm thinking more conventional oven, but you mean like...
I'm talking...
Microwave oven in the tub.
That would work, too.
Well, was this surprise?
Well, wait. It's a cliffhanger. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Good
you were going to do that.
And then I realized how foolish and selfish something like that is.
And we're considering this an attempt? Come on. That's no attempt. That's a thought. That's an idea. That's a light bulb moment.
All right. Well,
that's not an attempt. Come on. I was ready to send you to the hospital after this. You're fine.
No. No situation.
Were you drunk at least?
I was hammered.
That helps. Was there a note?
No note.
That is selfish.
I'm sorry, my suicide attempt is boring as
hell. You wanted to leave them thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
No, no, no. That's good. It's better. It's better than no suicide attempt.
I don't know. Is it, I feel like a no could be silly.
Well, maybe it's not better than no suicide attempt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a note would be silly, especially if you just wrote out your act. Yeah, like that was the note, you know? Just jokes.
Stick it to my ex-fiance.
Yeah. Like, look how funny I am.
I feel like a note is an even bigger pat on the back if you're going to go through with something like that, though. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, not only am I going to, you know, hurt every fucking person I know, but I'm going to reinforce it with my own ideas and thoughts on as to why I did it, so...
Good point. Well, I'm surprised you were
very unselfish.
I'm surprised you were going to go through with this, even though your dad blew his brains out when you were 14. No, wait, your uncle. Your uncle.
Yeah.
Sorry. Typo.
That's a hell of a typo, Mark.
Sorry. Freudian slip. I hate my father.
Not only that, he called you right beforehand
just to give
you a heads up.
Yeah, we were on
that
the phone.
That his head was going to be up.
That's right. We were on the phone. He struggled with addiction, and he was living in
Arizona.
Heroin,
coke. Pills, what do we got?
Coke, alcohol, and painkillers. And he ended up marrying somebody that he had met out of NA, which is always a bad move if you're treating addiction. Yeah. So.
And then they got back into it.
What's up?
Did they rekindle old flames?
Yeah, he had a kid, and so, you know, there was...
You got to kill yourself after a kid.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically what happened. He called me up and was... you know, I was 14. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
Wow, 14. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Wait, what did he say?
Oh, man. What? Jesus. I got to really dig deep into the psyche now. Yeah.
RG, it's me. Or was he, like, serious?
No, he was, like, you know, he was sort of half whimpering and half yelling and, you know, put your fucking mother on the phone and what are you doing now? I can't remember the exact dialogue, but it was short and, I was sort of freaked out by it because I had never heard him speak like that before.
Yeah.
So I gave the phone over to my mom, which is, it's, you know, my mom is his sister. And I just went about my 14-year-old life. I went upstairs and, you know, did what I did. And the next morning...
So you masturbated.
Yeah. Naturally. In times of distress. Yeah, and then a few hours later, my father came into my room and was just like, your uncle's no longer with us. And I really couldn't make sense of that either at first.
They're always so vague with those death things. Your husband's been involved in a fatal accident. What does that mean? Did he kill someone or is he dead? Come on. Figure it out if you're going to deliver these messages.
Yeah, it was only until this kid who I grew up across the street from was starting to, like, pseudo-console me that I started to kind of, like, figure out, like, what I'm dealing with here. And I still didn't really deal with it properly, but, you know.
Have you yet?
Nah, I tried therapy. That didn't take.
Yeah.
You stick to this, you know.
Yeah.
They ask a lot of questions in therapy?
I don't know. Like, if you do it, God bless you. If it works out for you. It just didn't take with me. I did it for like 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
You just couldn't even open up to this stranger. You're just like,
I just don't trust anybody. You know what it is? I'm surprised. I'm very cynical in situations like that. And I felt like she was just goading me to sort of find that route so that she could expose and exploit that so I could keep paying her.
Ah.
Yeah. It's all con.
Yeah, I feel like...
Too bad she wasn't an astrologist. It would have worked out perfectly for you.
That would have worked out much better, yeah.
Well, you got to know who to trust these days.
What I don't get about the whole thing is if my uncle ever calls my house, I give it to my mom immediately. And I don't want to talk to my uncle. Jesus.
I did after that night.
Either if he's killing himself or not, I'm just like, here's my mom. Yeah.
How many uncles do you have?
13. All gay.
What are the odds of that, really?
Well, what I want to know is, you know, I've known you for a while. You know, we're pretty good buds. And you say, I hear this a lot about Jews. They go to these sleepaway summer camps. That's like a thing. Mm. And you say at these sleepaway camps, your threshold for being picked on was truly tested.
Yeah.
These are your words.
Yeah.
A lot of pranks? Like, what are we talking here?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. A
Luggies?
Lot of pranks. A lot
like,
of...
what is that what they call them? Do they pull your underwear up?
Wedgies.
Wedgies.
Yeah. I think the entire summer that I was 10 years old, I think I spent every night on a goddamn shower hook by my underwear just because...
Wow.
And you'd be surprised because it wasn't just the kids doing that. It was some of the counselors.
That doesn't seem right.
Oh, the counselor. That sounds
I was like, you know.
Sounds like meatballs.
The ones who you think will protect you.
I had a Jewish bully in first grade.
Really?
Steal my lunch.
That's like
money.
An oxymoron.
I know. I'm the wimp of the wimps, you know? Like,
Jewish bully. What did he do? Take your money too? All right. But you know, these summer camp pranks.
Yeah.
Some of those, you got to give it up to some of those pranks. Some of them are pretty good. You know, I know you're the victim, but you know, you ever woken up?
I took one for the team, like you were a performer.
Yeah. Like, you know, I did. I was in a summer camp, a sleepaway camp, and one day I woke up, and you know, you're just like, and you realize you're outside, and you're like, oh, that's good. They got me while I was sleeping.
Oh yeah, that's tame.
That's not so bad.
That's nothing. I would have almost preferred that. You know what a waffle iron is?
No, what's a waffle iron?
What you do is you take a tennis racket and put it over bare skin.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, the butt will do, but if you can't, you just find whatever's available.
Yeah.
You put that tennis racket down so that the skin is peeking out those square holes, and you take a hairbrush and just. Just back and forth.
Man.
That shit hurts.
I got to tell you, on the other end, it sounds like a great time. Wow.
Yeah.
Were you picked on?
You know, like a little bit, yeah. I tried to talk my way out of it, but yeah, I was picked on. But, yeah. You know, I just kind of laughed it off and then went home and cried.
As long as you were the center of attention, you were happy.
No, just got in, got out. To let it happen to me, and then I didn't bring it up.
It's very zen of you.
Also, we call that bottling it in.
Mm.
What is Southern fun kind of bullying and pranks?
Lynching.
Oh.
A lot of lynching. Burning crosses. You know.
I feel like we need to get into back in your college days.
Yeah.
You learned how to get laid with the ladies.
Mm.
A special trick. You used to pull off the old accento italiano.
Yeah.
Oh, good move.
Yeah.
The old WAP.
Just like, you know, yes, my glasses are from Fiorenza.
No, it wasn't like Venice Italian accent. It was like,
Bensonhurst.
Give us some solace on, like, imagine we're a chick in college.
Just like, hey, I really like your hair. You know, just, you know.
Oh, like a New York Italian.
Yeah, New York
Italian. Oh, that's totally different.
Well, what'd you think? I was walking around like a...
So we're just like, hey, ooh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were
I walked around like that. Hey, oh, hey.
It's a good look for you. I like that.
Did you wear like a wife beater with marinara on it?
Yeah. No, that's not bad. I should have tried
that. I have
some
friends who do that, actually.
Gold medallions. No, you know, I hadn't... I went off to college still a virgin, and I was just like...
How about all the drugs you were doing in high school?
What about them?
That didn't get you laid?
Yeah.
No.
Chicks love a guy who has drugs.
Opposite. Are you kidding me? What girl wants to touch a fucking 16-year-old kid?
The girl's on drugs.
Yeah. Maybe I missed out on that, huh?
Oh, they're crazy.
No, you know...
You had the shrooms, the acid...
I feel like the drugs in high school were a reaction to the uncle thing, because that happened my freshman year.
Gotta lose yourself somehow.
Started doing some drugs, and then finally saw my ticket out of Staten Island, which was college.
Rapping?
What's up?
I thought it was rapping.
Yeah, no, it wasn't rapping. And went to college in Pennsylvania, and then it was like, it was that whole college thing, like, nobody knows me here.
Yeah.
Nobody knows my past, so I'm gonna create my own present and future.
Nice.
That sounds metaphysical. What was that new person you?
What's up?
That new person you became the druggie, or you left that
just
behind?
I was able to instill a different sort of confidence that I didn't have necessarily on Staten Island.
The kind of confidence it takes to speak fake Italian.
Exactly. Nice. And commit, might I add.
Commit. Yeah, it's all about the commitment.
Good I did meet a fiance there.
Oh, wow.
That's where you met her.
Yeah.
Did you have to break the Guido character?
I did,
like,
yeah. And so I just slowly faded out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
In my mind, she must have thought I was the biggest fucking creep. She's like...
Well, she did dump you.
That's true.
All right, RG Daniels, everyone.
And we're back.
Oh, come on, an attempt. What an asshole.
There's a big difference between considering attempting suicide and actually... attempting suicide.
Yeah,
you know,
like, we've all considered.
Like, I considered not drinking 7 nights in a row last week, but I didn't attempt it. You know, there's a very big line to draw there, I feel.
I've considered sleeping with a man, but that doesn't make me gay.
What does make you gay?
Doing it.
Oh, I thought the way you dress.
Ah, good point.
Coming up next.
Ooh, the old, oh, we were lucky to get the old Ted Alexandro.
One of my favorite comics out there. I think he's terrific.
He was great. He wore a blazer.
He sat down like he was on his throne during his set.
Yeah.
Looked like he was freshly shaved head. The whole head.
Can I say, though, the wife was obsessed with him. She thought he was the hottest
Your
guy.
Wife.
Yeah, my wife.
Although you're not married, for people who don't know, but
good
sure.
Point, good point.
She thought he was hot. What was it about him? Just he has a vibe or what?
The attitude, the slow, you know, the cool, relaxed. And she thought he had a nice face.
Maybe that's her way of telling you that you need to slow down a little bit.
Ah. Or that she wants to fuck other men.
Yeah, well, are you good with the foreplay? I see cracking one-liners all the way through. Just wanting to get to the punch, you know?
Yeah, well, that's about right. You know, my foreplay is brewing a pot of coffee. She loves that.
Really? Does she? Does that turn her on?
Oh, yeah, just the poplin and the bubbling.
Oh, she does like coffee a lot, though.
Oh, yeah.
I remember she said her coffee addiction was pretty sweet.
Ah.
And, I feel like everyone feels their addiction is pretty sweet. You know, like my heroin addiction is pretty sweet, you know?
That's a good point. But we should get to this interview.
Well, I'm addicted to this Ted Alexandro guy. Yeah. I got to tell you that.
How could you not be?
Here he is talking about...
jerking off.
The best.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Ted.
So that moment when you were like, this is when other dudes would hit a girl?
Yes.
What was that moment?
Well, I've had it a couple times with... I think anyone who's dated anyone has had those moments. Maybe it was just this particular girl. But where you're just... I don't even remember. Actually, no, I do remember. One time, I had my buddy's wedding in Las Vegas. And I took this girl with me. We were dating probably, I guess, about 7 months at the time.
I wonder how many beatings do take place in Vegas. I bet that's like the beating capital.
That was probably the place to do it.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to go to Vegas. But anyway, so yeah, I took her to Vegas, and it was kind of a step in the relationship too.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that was part of the reason why she was acting very strange. So we had this huge fight on the before the connecting flight in Minneapolis, where she just left, and she said I was ignoring her on the flight from.
She left in the airport.
She walked
on the plane.
No. She left in Minneapolis airport.
Left the airport entirely.
Not entirely. She left the gate where we were. Mm. She just disappeared.
Sounded like a troublemaker.
Yeah. So I like texted her like, "Where are you?" You know. Then it was like 10 minutes before the flight, and she like wasn't there. So then finally I called like, "What the fuck's going on?" Like, you know. And then she showed up like literally just before they were gonna.
Was she Hispanic?
No, she wasn't.
Did they miss their flights a lot? What was that?
They're fiery and full of drama.
Oh, I didn't know.
They'd be okay with the scene, especially in Minneapolis. They're uncomfortable there to begin
with.
Come
on, we have to connect on the racism here. We got to connect.
Man. I've never heard of that.
Same racist page.
Yeah.
So then when we got to the hotel, it continued where she was just like out of her mind, like, you know, I don't know.
What is her ethnic background?
Italian, Irish.
Oh, forget about it.
But she said you ignored her on the flight. Who's like on a flight? Like, hey, baby, fine, all right. It's a flight. You know, you go to sleep. You watch a movie.
Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, just in the hotel room, it got so crazy.
Was that what it was? Just not enough attention?
I don't know what it was. To be perfectly honest.
Okay,
keep going. Yeah, I really don't know. It still baffles me to this day. But when we got to the airport, it got so heated where I was like, what the fuck? Like, how could you possibly threaten to not get on a flight because you thought I was ignoring you?
Do you feel like you just don't know a person at all at that point? You're like, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And that's when you wanted to hit her, or that's coming up?
No. She was, like, cursing and yelling, too.
Oh, yeah.
So then...
Then this almost sounds like the kind of slap in the old movies just to knock some sense into someone.
Right.
In the apartment, you know, when she's acting crazy, they just, like, line up and slap her. And
right.
Then she stops being hysterical.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
And then
I'm not coming up with this off the top of my head.
And then the girl usually apologizes after.
Yeah, of course. She was out of her mind. She was out of her mind. You know?
But yeah, it was
Eastern medicine, we call that. Anyway, go ahead.
It was just a crazy thing. So to answer your question, though, no, I never felt the urge to hit her, but I felt this kind of like, what? Like, you're so
like
crazy.
It might be the right thing to do. I won't do it.
Yeah,
but
right.
It,
yeah. If I was pretending to be a New York Italian,
mm-hmm. Wait a minute.
Right.
That's Alexandro.
Right.
Well, what I've always been curious about, you know, you're pretty open in your act. You let it all out. But you never talk about the time when you were a teenager. And you were in the car with your family and a priest.
Family and a priest?
Yet you still felt it was okay to masturbate. How the hell did you get away with that? First of all, when I masturbate, I lock every door, I turn the phone off, you know. I close the windows, the blinds. You're doing it in a car with other people? How does that happen?
And a priest.
Yeah, why are you in a car with a priest?
It's a lot more thrilling when the stakes are that high, you know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, man, no, it's true. We were going to Cooperstown to the Hall of Fame.
A road which you almost have to masturbate on.
Yeah.
It's a long trip.
Yeah.
So we had a family friend. My parents were very involved in the church, so this priest friend of my family's was in the car. I was like 14, I guess, and it was like a big station wagon,
things. Like a hatchback.
Yeah, so I had the back thing to myself, and it was cold. I had a blanket over me. And he was in the front. The priest was in the front.
Ah, thank
you. We were separated by a good, you know, two sections.
Right.
You could see that collar, though.
I could see. Oh, you bet. I could. Yeah.
Were you at least facing outside? You know, you could turn around and face the car behind you.
I think I was facing the oncoming traffic.
Okay.
In front. Yeah.
Oh man.
So they could see you
masturbating.
Underneath
the blanket. No. Well, technically, I mean, I was under a blanket, so I think I was just like kind of jerking. I masturbated.
Is this even pleasurable, or this is just the? You're sticking
you're
it to the
about
man.
It now?
No. Well, could be. This is obviously pleasurable. Back then, it almost seems like a contest that you were just... It was out of spite, almost.
I think as a kid, I would do, like, crazy things.
Yeah, I just...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Your dick, it takes control.
Yeah. I think I probably had an erection, and, you know, you're in the car moving, and I was alone right. back there, and it was dark, mind you. This wasn't, like, during the day. That would
be weird. That changes things.
Well, how was the Hall of Fame?
Which one?
It was good. It was good. It was fun. I don't remember. I remember liking it.
Did you finish?
Yes, of course.
Oh, man. Where'd you dispose?
Sock or something?
I think I had a tissue or something with me.
Wouldn't that be awful if you just jizzed in the Bible? Yeah. Just to give it one more, you know, one more thrill.
I think that's what this show is.
This show is jizzing.
Now, I mean, I take ownership of that, and I'm neither proud nor ashamed of it.
Sure.
But
is that true?
Yeah, of course it's true, yeah.
A little ashamed? Not at
all. Ashamed? No.
Who cares?
No, it happened. Like, you know, whatever. But do you feel as though, like, that's weirder than any place you've ever jerked off?
No, of course not. That's why it's funny, because people have all done weird shit,
right.
You know?
That's true.
I can only imagine if I was a woman, what I'd put inside me. I think about that all the time.
Well, bananas and cucumbers, then where do you go? Popsicle sticks? What do you
into?
Is this why you've been collecting all those popsicle sticks?
No, I'm saying if I was a woman.
Oh, so you haven't thought about it beyond that, though.
Would you put in your ass, too, if you were a woman?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think I would do that. I'm a big fan of pooing.
if you were a woman, what do you think you'd be into sexually?
Oh, you know, like things other people would touch, like hairbrushes, you know, and like,
microphones,
you know, like school supplies, things like that.
Pencils.
Yeah. Oh, you want to borrow a pen? Sure. A lot of that.
You've never seen a vagina, have you?
No, I haven't. Yeah. But back to Ted. Here.
Back to Ted. Used to be a music teacher, right?
I taught for about 5 years when I first got out of school.
Nice. And how old were the kids you were teaching?
It varied. I mean, I taught K-5.
Okay.
But I also substitute taught. I did some teaching of gym and like a whole bunch of just kind of when I was substitute teaching, they would call you in for whatever they needed that day. So when I was teaching those, when I was subbing, I taught K-8.
All right.
Yeah.
Never higher than 8.
What's that?
Never
higher than 8th grade. No, I never taught high school.
And then, like, how long before you start dating the kids after that?
I never dated any of my students, but I did make out with one.
You never dated any of your current students? Or well, former students? Or
no, I don't teach anymore, so I don't have students now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so my former...
Have you ever hooked up with anyone you taught?
Yes. I'll tell
eighth
you about
grade,
it.
Eighth grade, I hope?
Well, they weren't in eighth grade at the time.
Ah.
What happened was I was like 21 when I first taught.
Oh, that's not so bad.
That is bad. There's more to the story. Yeah. There's a lot more to the story. I was 21 when I first taught, right out of college. And so the eighth graders at that time were, I guess, what? 13, 14?
That one guy knows.
Yeah. He really had that.
Let's hope he's a police officer.
At the ready. So about 10 years later,
yeah,
I'm 31.
Oh.
I'm at a local bar, and there is a couple of my former students there. It's Halloween.
You recognize them? They recognize you? What happened?
They came up to me like, hey, Mr. Alexandro.
Is that you, Mr. A?
Yes.
That's hot. That's hot.
Very hot, right? And now they're 24.
Oh, boy. Oh. Right. And what are you? And now you're what, 48?
I was like 31, 34.
All right.
So they came up, and mind you, it was Halloween as well. One of them was dressed as a pirate wench.
Oh, that's fun.
So, yeah, we made out. It was great.
Oh, nice. That's the fantasy.
Yeah, what, made out? What does that mean?
Made out.
You know what that means.
Maybe that just means he, like, kissed her.
No, like, we made out.
He fucked her?
No, I didn't fuck her, no.
See?
Yeah. Well, when does making out mean fucking?
That's why I asked. What does that mean?
All right. I made out with my cousin once. I didn't fuck her.
You made out with your cousin?
Ah, fuck. Why did I let that out?
How was it?
Naughty.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you? Was this last week?
That's why I won't answer my uncle's phone calls.
Well, that makes sense then. That's the most elaborate callback I think I've ever seen pulled off successfully.
With incest, you get that. Alright.
So,
where were we?
There was one time you were doing a corporate gig. Yeah. Election night. Al Gore got robbed.
And I remember that.
Our sources tell us Ted fucked a chick from the show in quote-unquote disappointment celebrations.
Yeah.
The country is fucked. Let's celebrate in your vagina.
That was essentially what happened. It was in Virginia. I was doing a corporate gig for, is it Philip Morris? Is the tobacco company?
Yeah.
Very noble of you.
Yeah. Big payday, so I had to do it. But, yeah, so there was a girl at the gig. They were primarily kind of conservative Republican crowd. But
are they the wildest in the bed, though?
Say again?
Are they the wildest in the bedroom?
I can't answer that because, well, I mean, as it relates to this story, this particular girl was like the lone Democrat, or at least the one.
Ah, she was the cool one.
Yeah, so that's what I meant about, like, we kind of bonded over the fact that we were disappointed with Gore. I think, no, was it the second time? It might have been the second time Bush won.
Yeah, it was.
No, that was Kerry, right? Yeah, second time was Kerry.
Right.
Yeah, so we were disappointed, and we went back to my room and fucked.
Nice. That's a good in, you know? Anytime a president loses, you can find that one person who's like, I voted for the other guy, too, you know? Yeah. Fucker.
You only get to use it so often, though.
Well, that's how I got laid after McCain lost.
You're a big fan of the gym, Ted. You like the rock wall.
I do.
Ever had any mishaps on the rock wall?
I sure did, actually. And I think it's kind of somewhat related to the girl that I mentioned with the airport story.
Uh-huh.
After we broke up, my head was so, like, kind of... It reminded me a little bit of what RG was talking about, with where your head is so kind of...
It's a universal thing.
Yeah, you're just not focused or whatever. So one day I went to the gym, and my gym has a rock wall, so I started to climb it, and I'm about two-thirds of the way up, and there's a guy, an employee, yelling to me from down below, you're not attached to anything.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I had put the harness on around my waist, but I didn't latch on to it.
Oh, man.
There's like this lanyard kind of thing that you hook on. So I was up there with essentially just the thing on, but nothing holding me.
No safety net,
no safety.
Harness.
Wow.
Nothing. Yeah, like 50 feet in the air.
Holy hell.
So,
I almost wonder if this guy was better off not telling you that.
No, he was much better telling. I could have died if I got to the higher top and just like, because you kind of jump back.
That's right, yeah.
Or if I slipped, You know, yeah. Like you just expect the thing
to
do.
They come get you, or you got to get down now?
Well, what happened was, you know, the wire is kind of next to you, like this.
Yeah.
So I just wrapped my hands around it like this.
Uh-oh.
And then I slid down, and my hands were just ripped to shit. Like just cut, like deep cuts into kind of the ridges of where your fingers are. You can still kind of see. You see on my middle finger there? There's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely. Yeah, so that my hands were like useless for 2 weeks. But that guy like saved my life, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how your body really took the punishment for what your brain fucked up.
I think so, man. Yeah.
You know, there was that delay because you should have remembered, but then your body was just like, all right, we'll take this.
I was preoccupied. And I think like it is one of those. It's almost like after, I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident where afterwards you kind of beat yourself up and go back like, what could I have done or what should I have done? It was like that kind of thing. Right, like right afterwards, I remember walking home like in a trance, like, how could I just look like...
How could you be so dumb?
Yeah, how could I be so dumb?
Like a near-death thing.
Though. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know rock climbing that well. I've never done it, but...
Shocker.
Did you ever think, like, go to the top? You know, I've only seen Guts, that show on Nickelodeon. Like, is there a way to, you know...
Are you questioning my guts?
No, I'm saying, is there like a top deck? Did you ever cross your
Instead
mind?
Instead of coming back down,
yeah,
did you go
all the
way
up?
I think I was, A, too tired, and B, kind of shocked, like when I realized...
That's why I'm like, maybe the guy should have said nothing.
Don't put
that in his head. Now he's
go all the way
he's
up.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not anymore, just at that time.
Yeah.
And then, should we even do the other gym one?
Yeah.
All right.
This one's good.
Quite possibly the gayest moment of our source's life,
wow.
He told us. And I should ask you if it was yours. You took a spinning class with a couple buddies of yours, and you were all in a row, and at one point, off your bikes, lunging with medicine balls to techno music. Which is apparently the gayest moment of our source's life.
If that's the gayest moment of your life, you're doing fine.
Well, yeah.
You've had your penis stroked by another man.
Right,
that's a gay moment.
Yeah.
That counts as gay.
I've done many, many gayer things.
This is like attempted gay.
Like,
right.
Yeah, no, I mean gay in a non-sexual way.
Negative.
Faggy.
Right. It was at the same gym, and I don't know, you may know John Fish. He's a comedian, and he lives in Astoria as well. And Jamie Lisso, another comedian, both very funny guys. Anyway, we go to The Rock, is the name of the gym, and there's a spinning class. So we...
I get sweaty. Sorry.
it's part of his shtick.
Yeah. Handkerchief?
I forgot it.
Yeah.
Usually as a fan.
Yeah. Asian fan.
It's like a parasol.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah,
good work.
Good
on you.
So we took a spin class, and the three of us... It was John's idea. So we were in a row, I think what kind of heightened the gayness was that the instructor was very gay. Mm. So he was like yelling at us.
One gay always heightens the gayness.
Yeah. So we were on the bikes, three abreast.
Well, that was kind of gay.
Yeah. And then we had to get off the bikes and do like these lunges where we pass the balls to each other and stuff.
lunges where you pass the balls to each other, huh? This sounded pretty gay. I'm giving this some more gay points than I would have thought.
Yeah, was there any gargling involved?
No gargling. No.
How did passing the balls go? Did you guys pass those balls well?
Successfully, yeah. We didn't drop. We didn't drop any.
Oh, man. Is there, since you've got a stage, you know, to open up, any other thoughts, any secrets that people don't know about Ted Alexandro that you think would be good to reveal to the crowd right now?
I don't really, I can't really think of anything offhand.
Well, I've got a question for the both of you.
Yeah.
You both seem to be, you know, this is all out of the bag, you both seem to be, you know, doing what I call the old receding. I'm going back right now. I'm starting to go. How did you cope with it?
How old are you?
25.
25. So, yeah, you're a younger guy. For me... Yeah, no, I guess we might have been at similar stages.
Yeah, I got quite a, you know, it's going back.
Right.
He just likes the idea of it, too, so you got to factor that in mind. Like,
terrifying.
Being bald to him would be like a victory, really,
oh,
in
no,
the world.
What are you doing? Come on.
Oh, come
That's
on.
That's not true.
You fret about this? It really
yeah,
gets
yeah,
you
it really bothers me. Yeah, it really gets me.
I embrace it, man. Like, yeah. I don't care. Yeah, no, I think that, again, maybe that's like an age thing. I probably in your 20s, it's a traumatic thing. Or a
I think you got a couple more years at least.
I got good coverage, but you know, it's.
You know what it is? It's one of those things that you're a lot more concerned about than everyone else is.
It's how you carry yourself. It's not how much hair there is on your head.
You know, it's funny, like, because like when I started shaving my head, which was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I was like, oh my God, now I'm the guy with the shaved head.
Right. That's terrible.
You do feel like you look like a lot of other guys. I usually shave it tight, too. It's like everyone just kind of looks like Vin Diesel or Telly Savalas or the same dude. Yeah. You know, we all just kind of... Then you see those guys growing the goatee and just like, oh, don't do that. Yeah. Then you just look like a Jets fan or something, you know? So, there's no...
But it doesn't matter, man.
But ultimately, what about with women? I mean, girls like a head of hair, let's be honest. Come on.
I think it varies. I don't think it
matters. Any ladies out there want to speak up hair?
Hold on.
You see?
Well, there you go.
All things nice, too.
Oh, well. So you'll fuck anybody.
All right. $10, Ted Alexander, thank you so much.
And we're back. Ted Alexandro.
Woo! Boy, that was tasty.
He's a funny man.
Oh,
it's great to have him on the show.
Cool as a cucumber.
Very cool dude. And coming up next, another cool dude.
Oh,
although,
yeah.
Although, I think we took the lid off this guy a little bit because I feel like I got to know him a lot better during this interview.
I agree. That's true. He's a big, menacing octoroon of a man.
Is that like a half octopus, half man? Is that what that means?
Yeah. Half octopus, half raccoon.
An octoroon, right?
Yeah. But, you know, great guy and... We really broke his shell. You know, he wasn't so tough after we had a go.
Pussycat inside.
There you go.
Half octopus, half raccoon, half pussycat. He's one and a half organisms.
Well, that explains his comedy.
And the abortions. I don't know what we're talking about anymore here. No, he's a funny guy.
Very fun.
And he opened up, and it was great stuff, so we should get to it.
Here we go. J.L. Covan.
Who do people tell you look like? Because I was getting like almost like... First time I've seen you many times, almost like an Adam Sandler. You hear that one?
I'm a little paler, my hair's a little longer, so now I'm in Sandler mode. I've gotten Obama, The Rock, Sandler, Vin Diesel occasionally by stupid people.
Yeah. Is any one of those better than the others or worse? Or?
They're all okay. Vin Diesel I find to be objectively the ugliest. Of the group. And I once got, when I was younger, because I have these very sad, depressed eyes that I inherited from my mother, I once got the guy on the train in Ghost.
A specific
That's
reference.
So that would be the worst. But I get it rarely.
I've heard people have thought you're an athlete before. That's happened to you, right?
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I have a joke about it, but it's like people kind of look to me like with hope in their eyes that I'm some sort of person who plays sports for a living because that will validate their day.
Yeah.
And then when I'm not, it's like it ruins their day.
Oh, like you're a dick because you're not that guy.
Oh, yeah, no. Do you play for something? No.
Is it the same guy or it's all different guys?
It's all different. Women. Yeah, well, women I tend to kind of hedge a little on the truth, but guys, I give it to them straight.
Well, you won't tell a girl that you're not the athlete that she thinks you are?
I'll like play the bashful no so they think I am and I'm trying to be coy about it. So I'm not actually lying. I never lie.
Right.
I'm actually saying the truth but in a untruthful manner.
Yeah. Good move. That's what I do with women as if I have an STD. All right. So we've got a hot list here. We've got quite a hot list.
Yeah, you kept coming back to me for more. I was like,
well,
we didn't even settle there.
Yeah, we asked a couple friends. Do you want to begin on this parade of awful things, or should I?
I think I'd like you to go first.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to start with the X. We all know that's a touchy subject for you, which
sure.
is... You know, prime bait for this show. After she left you, you tried to kill yourself by overdosing on GNC Mega Man vitamins.
What is that?
The first suicide popper ever. Oh, way to go.
Yeah, no, that's a joke I tell. I guess I'm more in the RG camp of contemplating it and then realizing she was a worthless bag of shit.
What was the actual... So you didn't actually attempt anything. What was the actual split reason? What happened? What went down?
Oh, wow. Can I give you it in like two parts? Because it actually had
We saved you a lot of time.
All right. I had started a new job at a law firm, tripling my salary.
Nice.
You've been engaged for a while at this point.
Been engaged about 3.5 months.
Oh, okay.
She had been putting the pressure, but it was one of those things where when you're in love with somebody, and this is why I believe love is a mental illness.
Good to know.
If you're in love with somebody, you start to rationalize things that shouldn't be rationalized. Like, instead of saying, you're a worthless bitch.
Something.
And you're money grubbing, you say, you know what? Yes, stability is important in a relationship. I should get a new job. I should.
Right.
You start to like convince yourself.
Exactly.
And so I took this new job and I liked it, but it was a lot of hours. And she started complaining literally month two of the new job that I wasn't, I was no longer making as much time for her.
Mm. Ah.
And I, you know, was like, well, I mean, you know why I took this job. And she's like, don't blame this job on me. I can't do this. It was poor shit. She just didn't, I don't know if she was cheating on me or if she just didn't want to get married anymore, but she was like literally looking for a reason
to blame her on me. She needed something to say.
Right, so I hit the road. I was like, okay, enough is enough.
Better to know now than later.
Sure, but then we started communicating again, and I was maybe we rushed in.
You know exactly where this is going.
Oh, maybe we rushed into the engagement.
You thought probably it was mostly your fault.
Of course. Like,
I could fix those things.
Of course. Of course.
I could be who you
I
want
changed
me to be.
My job. I started to compromise on my religion. I let her call my mom a bitch.
Whoa!
Yeah. You know, I literally felt like my balls had been removed from me somewhere in my sleep at some point.
Wow.
And I just woke up a eunuch that did whatever she said.
Wow. I'm surprised as a black man you let that slide. Yeah, well, the black guy in you, you know.
But she was white and blonde, and that's, as we can all see from the cases like OJ, that's, I might have gotten away with it, but I would have never really had a nice life after
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
Always the set, that would have gotten me stealing some of my Division III basketball memorabilia in Vegas years later.
So she came...
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you guys got back together.
Well, we started going out on dates. Now foolish
dates,
me.
Dates.
Well, because I was saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we rushed into it.
Right.
Maybe the engagement was too much for us, but yeah, there's still a connection. Meaning she, I think, was going to have her period soon and wanted dick. And I was in love still.
Oh, man.
So we actually went out, had sex.
The tables have finally turned in the male-female dynamic.
Yeah, it was, well, allow me to do my part to completely emasculate our gender.
No.
And then 3 days after that, 3 days after that, she said, "Yeah, I don't think we can be together anymore." I was like, "All right."
You thought you were on the train back.
And then I literally didn't communicate with her ever again, except when she emailed me and I said, "I don't want to be your friend. Thanks."
You sure that I have here that you stole her dog?
Who is telling you? I bought her the dog as a makeup gift. So if anybody wants a you know, a complete loyal piece of shit bitch of a man, but who will get you stuff you want and fuck you repeatedly.
So you gave her the dog and then took it back.
I didn't. I let her have it.
Oh, okay.
The beagle puppy is frolicking, not aware that his father was completely ruined temporarily.
Well, I mean, I heard she wasn't a great gal from our source.
Sometimes in the bedroom.
Well, you go.
You know how well she got. Well, this is what our sources tell us.
Yeah.
She got tired
of sucking
dick. In college. In college. so she wouldn't blow you that frequently. That's what a source told us.
I don't know if that may be true. I don't know. But what I can tell you is when the ratio of blowjobs to abortions in a relationship is 2-1, it's a bad... It's a bad relationship.
No matter
what factor of that you do.
Holy
Those abortions always make for tricky fractions.
Yeah.
You know?
Which
is the denominator? I always forget those.
How did we not have abortion on here?
We have abortion.
Yeah, it's on there.
It's like my Supreme Court hearing. It's a litmus test.
It is a litmus test. Well, then afterwards, you tore through a Match.com profile, quote unquote, fucking more Russians than the CIA.
Luke Cunningham is your source, by the way.
Shit, we need to send protection to him.
Our
identity has been compromised.
I wouldn't go that far, but yes, there was one or two Eastern Europeans involved.
Mm. Good for you.
It's like a Bourne.
Like a Bourne with fucking.
Like a Bourne movie. But if it were
you like the Eastern Europeans? Is that your type?
The porn identity. All right. Sorry.
No, I don't. I mean, when you come off a relationship like that, you like anything that, you know, says yes at
right,
that point.
Right,
so.
Right.
Then I have a question. Like, Obama talks about how he feels black. Because when he tries to get a cab or something, he can't, and that's so. Like, he's identified by other people as black, so he's black. Right. Is that something you agree with?
Good question.
I mean, you can look at me and see that, like, the only certain elements of society will really identify me as black. My ex's grandparents, for instance, very black to them, very Kunta Kinte in their eyes. I don't really, and I you know what? To be honest, like Obama, I mean, looks. Maybe if there was a blackness rainbow, like I'd be in the Jarrett Jeter section of it.
Right,
Obama's
right.
A couple more darker and feature-wise. But I think, you know, like him,
how
even though my dad...
How handy would a spectrum like that be?
That'd be nice
great.
For this show.
Even though my dad was always around, my mom was kind of the dominant cultural input in
from?
My life. He's from Haiti. My mom's Irish. So it's like... And I went to a private school with lots of white kids. So it's like, not to say I feel white, but, you know, that's... Closer to the culture, I guess, that I've been in.
Let me ask you this. I'm from the South. So I've heard a lot of, whenever you see like a black guy, as they say, acting white, they got a lot of shit. Did you ever get shit like that? You know, like, oh, why are you going to the other side? Why are you whiting it up, blackie?
That's just
guy.
The way it sounds in Bed-Stuy.
Like,
you nailed it.
I guess
it's exactly the accent they're using.
Hey, brother, why are you acting like a cracker?
Yeah. Stop watching Sambo so much. Come on.
No, that I never really got that.
You never got that.
No, because you know, I think a lot of the people who would see me as black or half black. And going to schools like Williams and Georgetown Law, where you have people kind of socially upwardly mobile kind of people, aren't really as concerned about locking people in. And,
right.
You know, and I don't get shit for dating white chicks.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. Like I have a friend who I played college basketball with, who's from Zimbabwe, who is approximately the same color as that wall.
Oh yeah.
It's dark.
He dated a white woman for years, and he said like black women like looked like they wanted to spit on him.
Oh
walking
man,
on the street.
Yeah, they don't like that. Yeah. Do you get that? You get the black women staring at you, but you're more mysterious, so you get away with it.
How about
you date black girls a lot?
I've never dated a black girl.
Oh,
which I guess qualifies me as a black man. No, I've always gone. I mean, I'm the person.
Ted Alexandro filling in for you. It's crazy.
The person I'm dating now is white, but I Latinas have always been sort of my favorite.
Oh, it's right in the middle, you know.
Exactly.
And spice up.
And I don't have to deal with any shit about white or black. Yeah, but you're neither.
I bet you're doing okay downstairs.
I'm doing all right. I was doing better in college. I don't know. I feel like an old man
your
now.
Is shrinking?
Wait, what do you mean college?
In college, it was like I was proud of it. Now I'm kind of like, you're doing all, you're fine.
I'm sure.
But not
fine.
Like.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
And you're a very religious guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, compared to the New York comedy scene, I might as well walk with a collar, you know, a priest collar up on stage. But I find,
apparently you hate the gays.
You've asked me that before.
Let's get it all out.
He asks everyone that.
Yeah. No,
it's like an icebreaker for him.
What I just like, I think what I like to do with my jokes is in comedy, unlike the real world, where like white Catholic
straight is the majority. In comedy, it's a little different. You know, it's more like minorities rule in comedy, or their voice is more
like
booked to.
I think he's working around this. Are you religious?
Oh, well, he asked me a different... He asked me a separate question. I'm fairly religious.
Okay, no. Gays.
But you do believe the gays are going to hell.
I don't know who's going to hell.
Come on, so. JL.
It's unnatural. It's unnatural, though, isn't it?
Butt sex? That's weird.
Butt sex is weird, but I'm not discriminating.
It's an exit, not an
I'm
entrance.
Not discriminating based on man, woman. I'm not just a big
you want
fan
the hat,
of,
and then you can tell us how you really feel.
I'm not a big fan of sticking it in the shitter.
All right. With a woman?
My ex, I did by accident, but you can buy the CD for that one.
Well, we got some questions about the CD, actually. Luke Cunningham, now that the source is out, he actually wanted us to ask, how many copies of that have you sold?
We're slowly closing in on triple digits.
Oh, all right, that's not so bad.
Mostly digital, so there's a lot of hard copies just sitting collecting dust.
You thought those were the autograph copies you thought would be on eBay.
I thought I did the Late Late Show, and I was like, shit.
Blowing up.
Three more years, I'll be fucking on ABC with my own sitcom.
And you'll own your own copyrights, goddammit.
I do. I have copyrights on the CD, so nobody bootleg it, or I'll sue you.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm not.
How is the prosecutor in the Bronx role? Is that terrifying?
Does he play this role on TV?
No. This is his job.
He plays this role in reality.
Oh, was.
Is that what you left? Because the fiance?
Well, I left. That was the government. That was like the cushy government job where I could do comedy comfortably, and then I went to the firm where it was like, you know, nice firm, but not exactly conducive to having like a
counting hours all the time.
Yeah. Sorry. What was the?
His office. It's got to be awful.
No, it was, like I think 6'7", 250 is kind of like, you know, ain't a suit. They know you're the law.
Wow.
So you kind of intimidate.
Still, it can't be something.
But he's black and white, so he's got it all cornered, you know?
But you're still like a prosecutor. That's going to be a thing every day. You show up and put people in jail and shit?
I don't even know if I ever put anybody in jail. A lot of plea bargaining.
Really? You don't put people in jail?
I didn't stick around long enough to handle super serious cases.
Oh, okay.
Some of my cases that I had at the time when I left, some of those people have done time.
Have you ever objected?
On what grounds?
I don't recall.
Oh,
probably generic.
That doesn't work. Does
it? Let me ask you. My parents are both lawyers, and I would always ask my mom, like, "Has anyone ever told you they're guilty, but you still got to defend them?" And she said, "All the time." Have you ever gotten that?
Well,
He's a prosecutor,
so
I don't know what that means. What is it?
He puts the bad guys behind bars. So
that's a cop.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Law and Order? It's the second half.
I can't get through a full episode of that. It's an hour long.
Yeah, it's too much that you have to remember.
Yeah, too much Orbach. Hey, all right, boy, that JL, we cracked him open.
Great interview, great show.
Great show.
Well done, Mark. I thought you had a lot of great lines during that show. It was really good to be hosting it with you.
Oh, you too. You were always on.
Oh, stop it.
You're doing a good job.
We got the next one is July 24th.
Oh, yeah.
At the Creek, Friday night, 8 o'clock.
Lineup TBA. TBD.
A-N-D.
A-N-D,
D-A.
D.A.
Like Harry Hamlin on L.A. Law.
Ah.
Was he the D.A.? Well,
good pull, yeah.
I don't know.
I was thinking Bull from Night Court.
Ooh, that's not bad.
But I think he was the bailiff.
He was the bailiff. Do we know a D.A.? There's got to be a D.A. who we've known. Elliot Ness.
Ah.
There we go.
There it is. Got that Capone.
He wasn't so untouchable after all.
Nah. Costner, come on.
You put one of ours in the morgue. How's that go?
I don't know. Yeah. I know the baseball speech. When
What's
he hits that,
that
guy, he goes, "Baseball's all about individual achievement." And then he hits a guy.
That's great, though. He sent a message.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good opener.
That is a good opener,
you,
yeah.
You address the room with authority.
Oh, yeah, and a, you know, hit in the face.
And a baseball bat.
Right.
Well, anything else to add, Mark?
No, I think we should go into Bull Durham now. All right, I think we're good. And we'll see you all in hell.
Take it easy.
Yep.